Welcome back to episode number 118 of the NP Dude. This is Jeff, the NP Dude, giving nurse practitioners a voice. That's everyone's voice. I want to hear from you guys. I want you to email me, jeff@thenpdude.com. If something's bugging you, I want to know about it. I want to hear what's going on. Got 32 maybe. I don't know. It's been flat. It's been slow. I think it's another lull. Had a big jump, then it flattens out. Big jump, then it flattens out. Same over and over again. That's okay. It'll happen. I was hoping to get 2,200 before the end of the year. We got, I don't know, 5 days, 4 days. I don't know if we're going to make it. We could. Two good solid days, I guarantee we could hit it. But we'll see what happens. Anyways, how are we going to get there? How are we going to get this show out there? You guys are sharing the show. You're letting people know that this is something you're spending time listening to, that it's got some value and maybe is mildly entertaining. And so that's one way. You're spreading the word. You're giving ratings. I haven't had any recently, last week or so. I've got a couple. So ratings on iTunes, ratings on Facebook, and it just lets people know that it's important enough for you to take the time out of your day to give a rating. If you give a lower or less than stellar rating, just give me a heads up why. I don't care. Give me a one, I'm cool with it. I don't care. I got a lot of people tell me I suck, so you guys are welcome to do the same. Haven't heard that in a while, guys. Give me a good old-fashioned, you suck, Jeff. The other way you can support the show, Amazon affiliate link. I know people hate the housekeeping. I don't care. You got to do it. You got to hear it. Amazon affiliate link. Go ahead and go to my website, thenpdude.com. Click on the Amazon banner. It will take you to Amazon. You do the purchasing you otherwise would have. What does it do? Nothing to you, other than you have to use my website to get there. Once you do that, what it does is it kicks me a percentage, a small percentage, but still some, of what you purchase, and I'm using that to help pay for web hosting. I was looking at the email that came in like yesterday that said, yeah, you better pay your bill or we're going to lose your domain, that type of thing. So I got to get my bill paid, and I'm still trying to get the goal to pay for that. I'm not quite there because I got to pay taxes. You know, I got to pay the man. So all that money that's getting brought into me, I got to pay taxes. It's not just free money. I got to pay taxes. We got to pay the piper. So I appreciate you guys using the Amazon affiliate link. It's a great way to support the show. Another way you can do it, if you're feeling spunky, is you can scroll down the bottom of my website, click on the donate button, get your PayPal account all warmed up and ready to go. It's a great way to support the show. You think this show's worth a buck, don't hesitate. Go throw a buck at me, or 10 or 20 or 100. I don't care. I'll take whatever you throw at me. I appreciate it. The topic I want to get into today, chronic intractable t-shirts. I'm still waiting for some more people, about another dozen or so people, and I'll hit the go button and get, that'd be about 24 ordered. So if you're interested in a chronic intractable t-shirt, please email me, jeff@thenpdude.com. Just give me your name, your address that you want me to ship it to, and your size, and once I hit the order button, I will, or give the order button, the phone call to order the shirts, I will, go ahead and give you a link so that you can purchase through my NP Dude PayPal. And that way you can get me the money and I'll get you the shirt. It's a nice, easy-peasy way of doing it. Today's a good day. I haven't done this in a while, so every now and then I'm going to go back and do it. Just a Who's Jeff, because I get tons of new people all the time. And I think when they listen to the podcast, they listen once or twice and they're like, I don't get it. And so I think it's valuable every now and then just to say, this is who Jeff is, this is what's going on and why we're doing what we're doing. And the way it sounds with all the car noise and the heater running because it's 10 degrees outside and all that stuff. So who's Jeff? Jeff is me. I am the NP Dude. I am a licensed APRN in the state of Ohio. I've been doing it for about a year in practice. And I'm also a licensed attorney. I've been out of law school since 2003. I actually graduated and walked in 2004 because they don't have a winter ceremony. And I practiced as an engineer before that. So I spent time as an engineer in consulting, did my night school for law school, did a lot of contracts, a lot of contract review, negotiations of very large contracts all across the country, and hated it, completely hated it. And I was excited at first and lost the satisfaction and then lost the ambition to do it and lost the passion. And just wanted to help people in a more individual way and individual level. And took some time, thought about what I wanted to do, went back to nursing school while I was working as a manager in engineering, which was kind of weird, right? So I wore, you know, basically suit, tie, and briefcase during the day, and then went to night school and did some prereqs. Decided I did like it, did like the idea of nursing and wanted to go into that path. Spent 15 months getting a bachelor's of science in nursing. Went straight to ICU, did that for a couple years. While I was in ICU, I went to FNP school, and here I am. So I'm one of those newbie NPs that have been out for a year, and I've got about 4 years or so of experience as an RN, a little over, almost five. So, you know, it kind of comes down to being a newer NP and a newer RN and newer in healthcare, but I come to this profession with a lot of background. And so in an outside perspective, which I think is different in something that's nice, because if you talk to a nurse that was 18, 19, out of high school, went to nursing school, went right to work on the floor, and or worked as an LPN and worked her way up or his way up through and all the, you know, all the different levels, it's a different perspective being in business than it is being bedside nursing. So I think that I do bring some perspective from that side of things. So that's who Jeff is. Now, why are we doing this podcast? Why am I doing this podcast? I see a huge gap in knowledge. And it was readily apparent when I was in NP school, when I was doing the advanced practice courses, and the people that were trying to teach this stuff didn't know what the hell they were talking about. That's really what it comes down to. And we had all these stupid online posts and argue this or that, and it was all, you know, more political than it was actual functional knowledge that you need to know in practice of, like, how to do things or what should you expect and what malpractice policies mean. None of that was taught in my MP program. None of it. The only time it would have been possibly presented was if someone went and looked it up and talked about it in class. But otherwise, it wasn't presented. So I felt that this was a good opportunity for me to just kind of start this podcast, provide some of my background knowledge, and just my perspective and my opinion. A lot of my opinion comes into the show. So if you're new to the show and you say, you know what, Jeff, I don't like your opinion, good. Tell me what your opinion is. Maybe you'll convince me. I am an open book. I want to hear from you guys. I really mean it. I really, really do. So that's kind of who I am and why I started the podcast. The other big thing is that there was no good podcast. I looked around. I'm a podcast junkie. I listen to stuff for farming. I listen for stuff for intellectual stimulation of things that I find interesting. Just different people talking about their perspectives on life and politics and governance and independence and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And so I listened to that stuff. And I was looking through the field of podcasts, and there was, you know, two or three of them, and I found one that was remotely good, but it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and ironically, it's somebody that I do value their opinion, knowing what I know now. I've communicated with this individual through Facebook and emails and things, and I do value that individual's perspective. I just think that her utilization of podcast wasn't the right platform for her to be able to monetize it and make money off of it. And I'm cool with that as a goal. The goal, you know, if I could make a ton of money doing a podcast, you bet your sweet bippy I would be doing it. But I don't feel like it's going to happen for me doing this. I wouldn't mind making a little bit of money, enough to at least pay me something. But to be perfectly honest, I'd rather coalesce our community of nurse practitioners and come up with a better understanding of what it is that we are doing, and it maybe try to congeal. I don't think I'm that important of a person to be able to do that, but maybe it's happening. I don't know. I got some people that are saying it is. I got some other people saying, eh, I don't know. You're okay. And I get it. I'm average at best. So that's me. That's what I'm doing. And let's get into the show today. Let's just talk about it. I got a great contract question that came to me. And a lot of people love contract questions because they it's just never covered well in school, and they're so difficult to grasp, and yet so simple. In just that you just read the words in the document. That's the simple answer. What's the contract say? And you can almost always figure out what the answer is. You may not want to hear the answer, so sometimes you want to get a legal opinion to see if there's wiggle room away from that. But usually, if you read the words in the document and you agree to it, you're kind of screwed. That's usually the way it is. So this question came to me through a Facebook post, or through a Facebook message that, not through the MP dude, just somebody saw that I was an attorney and it was in an MP group, and they PM'd me. And it turns out, and I'm not going to give information specific, but the basic crux of the problem is this. NP signs a contract 6 months into, let's just assume it's a one-year contract. Doesn't really matter. But halfway through their term. The contract specifically says NP shall... NP hereby agrees to contract to provide services with ABC Company, which is a clinic. It doesn't matter what it is. Let's just call it ABC. And that's all it really says. I mean, it goes through the typical provisions of, you know, some kind of non-compete, and it has, you know, termination provisions and all the other stuff of contracts that I've talked about that you can go back and hit my search bar and hit contract, and you get, you know, a dozen episodes about contracts, different aspects of contracts. So all the other stuff is there, but it doesn't really specifically say anything else about where you're going to be doing your work or anything like that, or what kind of stuff is going on. Just you're going to be an APRN, and that's pretty much it for this company. When you're negotiating with that in that company, you've interviewed at the clinic that is, let's just say they're 5 minutes down the street from you. They're in your town. It's in your community. It's next to your kid's school. It's, you know, between your kid's school and the church. Okay, so you're going to be a staple in this community. That's important to you. It would be important to me. If I could get that, I would. So that's got value to it. And then the other option back when you were negotiating for that contract, you had another offer in, say, the next town over, which was 20 minutes away or 40 minutes away or whatever. It depends on where you are in the country, how far our next town is. But let's just say it's not as convenient as where you want to work. But the price is better. So say you're going to make $120 in the neighboring town, and in your town you're going to make $100. So it's $20,000 less. But for you, the value of being in your town, 5 minutes from home, in your community, serving your neighbors, and all that good stuff is extremely important. It might be worth that $20,000 to you. You negotiated hard, you got it as high up as you could, but that's as high as they're going to go, and that's the best deal you're going to get. So you signed the deal. You want to work in your town. Let's assume that that company, ABC, has multiple offices in multiple towns. And 6 months in, they say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and shut this clinic down in your town because it doesn't matter. They're losing their lease, or it's not due to anything of you. They love you. They want you there. They want you're fantastic. Maybe you're not making the money. I don't know, but let's just assume that you are, because they still love you. They want you, and they say, we're closing that office. We want you to go to the town that's 20 miles away or 40 miles away or whatever it is, and there's no contemplation in the contract about which office you were hired in. And the question can be, when it was raised to me, is what's my recourse? Can I stop things and say, well, no, let's renegotiate, because the value of being in my hometown was worth $20,000 to me. I would have taken a job with your competitor in that other town if I knew you were going to do this to me. And I would be making $20,000 more. I don't know the numbers. No, there were no discussion of numbers. I'm just trying to give you, you know, some extremes here so that you understand that there's value in that. And the question is can you stop it and renegotiate? Well, it depends on the contract. So if the contract specifically says you're just going to work for XYZ or ABC company, you're screwed. Can you renegotiate? Well, you can try. You know, you could go to them and say, look, I didn't contemplate going to work there. I mean, the deal was always here. They're going to say, well, the contract doesn't say that. So we're going to go ahead and just keep you at your $100,000, and you're going to have to drive an extra, 2 hours a day or something ridiculous. Is that worth it to you? I don't know. So then you have to look at what's the play. How do you do this politically? So the legal answer is you're probably screwed. The better answer to me is, how do you just make this work? Because if they really like you, they're not going to want to lose you. They don't want to train somebody else. You know their EHR, you know their systems, you know where the resources are available. You're just going to be doing it in a different place. So if you really hate the idea of that, closing the office and moving out of town, then the question is do you even want to stay in that organization? Is there another place you can go in town? If being in town is more valuable than working at that company, then I'd be like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to try to find something else. And then you got to look at your termination provision and see, okay, if I terminate this agreement early, what are my consequences? because I'll be damned, I'm going to spend extra 2 hours a day driving, not getting paid for it, and oh, by the way, I'm going to get paid less than if I was working at the place down the street over there. So that's like a double hit in the nuts. That's horrible. That's a bad deal for you at that point. I would talk to him, and I would see what, you know, do some soul searching for a, you know, I wouldn't say no to him. I'd say, well, I got to do what I got to do, you know, but we probably should be talking about this. And, you know, let the managers know that, you know what, I'm not happy about this, and that it's going to cost me a substantial more increase in my time and energy and gas money and wear and tear on my car and everything else that goes along with that. So my rate kind of needs to go up because I'm losing money now compared to what I would have been if I would have worked for your competitor. So that's the question. Do you want to leave? Can you leave? Can you get out of the deal? These are all the what-ifs and it depends that are out there for this type of situation. If you were able to, what I would do is I would go to my boss and say, look, you know, I really like working here. I think it's a great organization. I want to know maybe what's the problem, why we have to close this office that's so very convenient, perfect, and we're, you know, if we're making money and everything else is going well, what's the problem? Why not just hire more people to go work in the other place? Or let me be a subcontractor and I'll just run this practice and whatever we make, you know, above this, I get as a bonus. You know, I don't know. I mean, those are all things I would try to work out because I would try to keep the deal that I want the most first. But that was a good question. I never thought about incorporating into my agreement if there were multiple offices that I was to be working at specifically this location. I haven't run into that. And of all the contracts I've reviewed, I haven't seen that done that way yet. I don't remember it anyways. Maybe I did. I can't recall. That's what happens when you work 14 hours in a day and then do a podcast. The point being for this is, and I think this is probably the biggest takeaway about this whole hypothetical, was if you are working in a company that has multiple offices and there's value in the fact that you're in one specific office, I would write that into the deal. I really would. And I'm going to keep my eye out for that in the future because that's one that I would have just been like, oh man, that's a horrible scenario to fall through. You're gonna lose some money on that. Now, maybe they will help this individual and come up and say, you know what? Yeah, we recognize maybe the cost of living and the drive and everything else. And so why don't we go up on the salary and maybe we'll cover some of your mileage cost or, you know, something like that. That's taxable income, by the way. I mean, you can't write that off. Unless you're a contractor, then you can write that off. And maybe going as a contractor would be a better deal for you. Because of the mileage, might very well maybe a better setup. So I would talk to the boss and say, look, if you really value me, we got to figure this out because I really don't want to drive that far. My whole intention of taking this position was that office, and you're taking that away from me. Hey, that's a big deal. That's not a reason that you can renegotiate, but you can always walk into your boss's office with concerns. Doesn't mean you get to, you know, sit at a table and, you know, with a contract in front and start scribbling on it. That's not necessarily how you have to negotiate this. I would just let them know your concerns. And if there's another job in town that you like more than the idea of you going to a different place, you switch. Bye-bye. It's not personal. It's life. You got to do what's best for you. Nurses like to help and please people, and I think that we roll over too easy too often. And I think that it's hard because we don't want to be confrontational and we want to have good working relationships and we don't want to burn bridges from that standpoint, but you still got to take care of you and your family, and if you don't, man, it's a disservice to you and it's a lack of respect on you. If this individual does not get a raise for that, I would leave. If they said to me, nah, we're going to keep you right there and we're just going to move you from this one to that one. Oh, and you're just in an APRN, so you're going to take it and like it. I'm going to be like, kiss my ass, I'm out of here. I wouldn't say it to their face right away, but yeah, I'd probably have found another job in about a month. Say, yeah, I think we're good. Thanks. Bye. You're on your own. Find somebody else. Give them a big old size 10 shoe of mine and say, try and fill it. That's not too pretentious, was it? Yeah, maybe a little. I'm not that good. I'm average. I'm competent. That's what I'm shooting for. Great question. Interesting. I love weird questions about contracts. If it's the same old thing, like what's a non-compete, well, you can go back and listen to my other podcasts. But you know, I get I get tired of the same questions. I like the new ones. That was a weird one. That was a new one. That was great. I appreciate those questions. So PM me or email me. I don't care. Get in touch with me. If you got something weird or wonky and I haven't covered it before, I want to hear about it. I didn't even think about that one. Didn't even think about it. It's a great question. Another one that came up, this was from Charlton. Sorry, dude. I keep saying your name friggin' wrong. I keep calling him Carlton. His name's Charlton. And I kind of thought about that when I first was saying it, and I kind of stuck with Carlton because I said it wrong the first time, and I just like, eh, it's Carlton, I know. Plus, I like Carlton Banks. He dances funny. Sorry, Charlton. So I apologize, dude. You're a cool dude. He's one of my chronic intractables. He wears the shirt proudly, and I keep saying his friggin' name wrong. That's my bad. I don't mean to. It just kind of happened. Charlton was in a discussion on Facebook forum and tagged me on it. It was about compact states and how the APRNs were talking about the compact states and in RNs and compact states and things like that. And so there's a lot of like, what the hell is this compact state stuff? And I'm not going to lie to you. I did not know this when I was in NP school that there was such a thing as compact states. To me, compact states is a weird word for this. From a legal standpoint, it's a weird term. Compact isn't, and nurses do this all the time. We have like a one-off, like try to be different type of terminology. And to be honest with you, it bugs the shit out of me. Because like this is one perfect example. What compact states are, and there's only three of them right now. And there might be some that are pending legislation, but there's only three that have the compact approved. A compact is a promise, that's all. And it's being kind of misused in terminology from the legal standpoint. What I mean is this. It's a model code. A code is, you know, your state legislative code, like the Ohio Revised Code, or, you know, your law, your state law. That's the actual statutes that dictate what you can and cannot do. We talked about this a little bit in the past, but I'm going to kind of hit it again because I think it's important to distinguish the differences between things. Because sometimes people get these things confused, especially I don't know why, but APRNs, nurses, we get this confused all the time, and I think it's valuable for you guys to understand this. In the government, when you make laws, the legislative branch makes the laws, the executive branch basically will sign them into law and then enforce them, and the judiciary will interpret them. That's, you know, high school civics class right there. If you know that, you can get an A in civics class in high school. Or if you're my kids in fifth grade, you understand that better than their teachers. Sorry, teachers, if you're listening. We love you. Legislative comes out with laws. The executive branch comes out with regulations. They are both enforceable rules. But one is the actual law and one is an actual regulation. They're different, but they're the same. And they usually mirror each other. So like Ohio Revised Code Section, I don't know, 4329, which is the Ohio, the Nurse Practice Act, subsection 0.09, for example, whatever it is, I don't care. I'm just making this shit up right now because I don't have it in front of me. If you go to the administrative code that is determined by the executive branch, the police, the cops, come up with the rules of what they're going to enforce and how they're going to enforce it. There will be an Ohio administrative code, for example, that will have 4723-09, and they mirror each other typically, not always, but most of the time they do. The Ohio Revised Code, as an example, or your state legislature's rules, will often defer implementation of the rules to whatever board that is established by the executive branch for that specific whatever it is. If it's engineers, it's the Board of Engineering and Surveyors, or whatever it is. If it's veterinarians, it's the Board of Veterinarians get to make the rules of what they're going to implement. Now, they can't violate the rules of that are set forth by the legislature. They have to implement the rules from them, but they get to kind of decide on. Sometimes they'll give, here's a great example, Ohio EPA or any state EPA or Department of Environmental Protection in Pennsylvania, the DEP, whatever it's called, they will implement the numbers to which you will have to clean up certain contamination. This is what I used to do a long, long time ago, was environmental hazardous waste stuff, long time ago. So the federal rule might be one thing, but the state rule might be more strict, and it might be how they interpret it might be slightly different than if the federal government doesn't tell how to interpret it or measure or monitor something, then the state will set the regulations on how they want to do that, or it's the state the state's I guess regulations. We'll keep it that way. So it's similar to that. Now, that was federal to state. This is actually legislative to executive. It's kind of the same concept, though. I kind of blew it on the analogy, but it's the same concept. The point being is that you got to understand that one is the cops, one's the fancy people in suits that sit in a big giant room and vote on it. That's the difference. Now, the compact that comes into play, this is a different animal. This is an organization or a company or someone that comes up with a model of what they think would be the best statute that they could come up with. It's not enforceable. The model itself is nothing. It's just a recommendation of what a state could adopt as a legislative code. So the model that comes out from the compact, that's why I like the word model, because it's like something that you would, you know, you picture, you know, the guy that's the thinker, right? The guy that was sitting there for the artist to actually, you know, chisel out a stone. He was the model. And they chiseled out the actual thing from that, right? You know, staring at this guy, and they chiseled out the thinker. You know what I'm talking about, guys? The marble statue with the guy with his hand, his chin, he's sitting there. All right, whatever. I'm not very cultured, so that's as good as it gets. But that's what the model does. And that's what a model statute is. It's not a real statute. There's model statutes for everything. There's the model penal code if you break a law. So some states follow the model penal code because they came up with a good plan on how to handle this stuff. So they said, yeah, we agree with the model penal code, but maybe we want to change one or two little things. And then they just kind of say, we adopt the model penal code except for these sections. See, these are different. And so that it makes it easier for the legislative branch of the state governments to adopt the rules. So what's the deal with this compact? The compact, I didn't read any of it because there's only three states that have adopted it. And everybody posts it like it's the model. Like, you look at Ohio Board of Nursing's website. They say, oh, here's the model compact. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't tell anything. It's garbage. Not that it's garbage. It could be very great, but it has no enforceable effect. And the differences between our state and the compact mean crap. It doesn't mean anything. So what's the point of the model? Well, the idea is that you would have one generalized set of rules for everybody in the union. So that when you are a nurse practitioner, you have free travel to go from one state to another. You can live anywhere and be domiciled anywhere as an APRN in any state. But yet it's difficult sometimes to get your license to transfer from one state to another. Having a model compact between, a compact is promise, right? A promise between states, what it does is it allows for freer trade across state lines for APRNs to move. So one thing would be like military families. So if your spouse is in the military and you're an APRN and you get switched from, you know, Fort Knox and what, Tennessee, and you go, next thing you know, you're in, you know, North Carolina, Fort Bragg, and then you're out west somewhere, and then, you know, so you're kind of chronically moving, and then the problem becomes, you know, you're constant. By the time you get ready and get practicing and get licensed, you know, you've got a year to work, and then you move again. So that's one example of where a compact between the states would really make a lot of sense. The other thing would be if you work on the state line and you want to get licensed in multiple states, having been licensed in one state that is within the compact states that have adopted the model code, then it would make it easier for the other states to say, okay, well, I know Pennsylvania and Ohio and West Virginia are all really close together and they're all part of the same compact. So in other words, they all kind of follow the same rules. So if you're licensed in Pennsylvania, Ohio will look at that and say, all right, they've got a good license within good standing, no board actions against them, no complaints filed, they've got no issues. We're just going to go ahead and issue them a license. It just makes it faster. Now, you may have to submit transcripts and all the other crap. It may require some of that. But that's dependent upon what is agreed to between the compact states. So that way you've got more ability to just kind of flex between state lines. So if you work in one office in Ohio, then another one in Pennsylvania, and one in West Virginia, and you float 3 days a week between the three, then you don't have to have three different, you know, truly three different licenses. You do. You still do. Don't take that the wrong way. But the process to get them is like one process. It's much easier. That's the intent of the compact state. Now, I love the idea of a compact. I really do. I think it'd be awesome. I just don't think that, you know, just looking at our own Facebook groups that we belong to, looking at the AANP versus ANCC, looking at the infighting that happens between and the jockeying for, you know, for, I don't know if it's for power or just the bickering that happens within our own profession, I just don't know if we're going to be able to get that much consensus to be able to pull it off. Three states, that's it. And this was back in, I don't know, almost 3 years ago when it was kind of started to be enacted. Three states. I mean, we got better opportunity to get full practice authority, I think, in the rest of the country before we get a compact. I could be very wrong on that, but I just don't think there's enough traction or teeth in this thing to make it last, or to make it expand faster than what the states are already doing. Plus, each state is so very different in their rules right now. It's so difficult to get these states to make any changes because they're stifled. I honestly believe their legislatures are being pressured so hard by the AMA and the state medical associations that they're afraid to do a thing. So they're dragging their feet. So I just don't see it happening anytime soon. But I think it's a great idea. I think the model compacts between the states is a great thing. It would only just free us up to get flexibility to move. The other thing is that there's going to be states that will lag in full practice authority. Ohio happens currently to be one of them. And hopefully that's not the case. But I think once full practice authority happens across the country, which I think is going to happen, then the compact will happen quicker. But until then, it's just there's still over half the states that aren't full practice. It's just not going to happen yet. Great question, Charlton. Keep pissing people off on there, man. I love it. I love getting people fired up, Chris and you and a couple others. I keep getting tagged and stuff, people trying to fire things up. I'm not going to start Facebook battles, guys. I'll just talk about it on my podcast, explain what I'm talking about. I'm not going to get in there and jump in the dirt and the weeds with you guys. It's just not worth the headache. I don't have time to listen to all the back and forth. Too many words, man. I see these posts by people that want to argue with me, and it's like five paragraphs long on Facebook. Dude, I read the first sentence. If I don't get the gist out of it there, I'm done. I just kind of move on. I give a thumbs up and say, yep, you're good. Move on. It's not that I don't care what you're saying. I just don't have time. I don't have the energy. Exhausted. Anyways, guys, I appreciate what you guys are doing. You guys are doing a fantastic job helping with the show. I want you guys to help more, though. You can help as much as you want, I guess. Let's see. My kids are wrestling right now. I just got a text message. My one twin just pinned a kid. It's their first year wrestling. And my other twin, just won his second match. So, yay, us. Go beat Team Powers. I don't know what my six-year-old did, though. So, we'll see what happened. He probably just bit the kid. God only knows. Sorry. Talking about my personal life on podcast, but that's what you get. You get all of me, guys. This is me. This is the real me. No veil of secrecy here. I am who I am. So I hope a little background about who I am helps you guys. I know you guys have been around for a long time listening. Every now and then you probably get sick of hearing the same stuff, but it's so important for these new listeners to understand what the scope of this podcast is. I'm not going to sit here and talk about all the medical diagnoses that you could possibly do. You can listen to Curbsiders, and you can listen to, you know, all these other podcasts that are medical-based stuff, because that's what those are. I want to hit the issues that are bugging nurse practitioners, and most of that isn't medical. I mean, you can go look up to date. You can go to Medscape. You can go on Google, for crying out loud. You can find most of the answers that you need about any medical topic that you want in about 5 seconds. I mean, my patients can find this stuff without much difficulty because they're pretty darn good at it, finding it and coming in and asking for what they want. And I tell them, oh, that's pretty good. Sometimes I tell them to quit looking on the internet because it just drives themselves insane. But sometimes they actually Google the right thing and they come up with actually a decent treatment plan for themselves. Anyways, guys, I appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep listening. Keep sharing the show. Keep using the Amazon affiliate link. I'd love some more ratings from you guys. And try the donate button. I seriously mean it. If you guys want a Chronic Intractable t-shirt, new listeners, Chronic Intractables are my fans of this show. If you like the show and you want a t-shirt, 25 buckaroos gets you a t-shirt. All you got to do is email me, jeff@thenpdude.com. I'll get you one, I promise. If you guys are working night shift, I want you to be safe. Crazy people happen night shift, man. People, I remember in ICU just holding people down night shift. It's crazy, night shift. Giving them vitamin H and holding them down for 15 minutes until the medicine kicks in. More than a handful of times doing that. So if you guys are out there, you're working, I want you to be smart, be safe, promote our profession, help each other out, don't tear each other down. We should all be on the same page. Even if we aren't on the same page, you smile, you agree to disagree, and you try to understand the other person's perspective instead of calling them names and being silly about it. Let's be smart about how we treat each other. I really want to be that way. I want us all to just congeal, coalesce, come together, whatever word you want to use, and I want us to be better at what we do. Let's do better tomorrow than we did today. I appreciate you guys listening. We'll talk soon.